Fergus versus Furry. Another slice of Celtic history from the Celtic Wiki. In the supposedly paranoid mind of the average Celtic fan, there has long been a deep-rooted suspicion of the motives of the Scottish Football Association. This suspicion of the National Association was born from incidents such as the infamous flag flutter and a perceived bias against Celtic players in the selection of the Scotland squad. But by the early 1990s, many Celtic fans were willing to accept that if such outright bias existed, it was in a bygone age. But a remarkable series of clashes between SFA head Jim Farry and Celtic chief executive Fergus McCann would fan the flames of suspicion once more. SFA chief Farry, a former landscape gardener, and McCann were certainly contrasting characters. Farry cherished the red tape bound world of football administration. He revelled in its complex committee structure and the seemingly endless lists of rules and regulations. In contrast, the straight-talking McCann thought Scottish football was overburdened by needless bureaucracy and contradictory legislation which he believed merely hindered progress. To the successful goal-getting entrepreneur, the SFA appeared antiquated and self-serving. From the minute McCann walked through the parquet doors, a showdown was inevitable. The first clash would come in July 1994 with the appointment of Tommy Burns as Celtic manager. Burns and assistant Billy Stark had resigned from their managerial roles at Kilmarnock so they could complete the move to paradise. In a rather undignified affair, things were complicated further by the fact both had already been registered as players with a Rugby Park club. Kilmarnock were furious with what they saw as Celtic's underhand methods, and the Scottish League and the SFA were strongly sympathetic to the Ayrshire side. Celtic would be fined by the league £100,000 for the poaching of the duo, and would also be ordered by the SFA to pay double that amount in compensation. It was now McCann's turn to be furious. He argued the scale of a fine imposed by the league and supported by Farry and the SFA was unprecedented, and pointed out that when Rangers tapped up Dundee United's Duncan Ferguson, they were given a punishment of just £5,000. Ultimately, McCann had no option but to stump up the cash. While the fine certainly seemed excessive, almost all outsiders sided with the league and the SFA. Many in football and the media had been appalled by McCann's behaviour. Throughout the whole affair, at no time did he even show the slightest regret for his blatant tapping of Burns. The redevelopment of Celtic Park would spark round two of Fergus versus Farry. When McCann drew up the proposals for the stadium rebuild, he was told by the SFA Stadium Committee that Celtic would have no choice but to play away from Parkhead for a season. The advice was given on legitimate safety grounds, but McCann was uneasy with the fact that the SFA could make such a decision, given that they, along with Queen's Park, would benefit financially from Celtic's temporary move to Hampden. McCann was further infuriated when he learnt that Celtic would not only have to pay an annual rent of £600,000, but that the landlords would also be the ones who'd be raking the cash from catering and programme sales. In a bid to make the National Stadium a little bit more homely, the boys had hoped to add a few temporary touches to the changing rooms and the ground, which would give it a slightly more Celtic flavour for the Hoops' home games. But their requests were refused. It was obvious to McCann and Celtic that while their money was very welcome, the actual presence at Hampden was barely tolerated. McCann would become a frequent and vocal opponent of the SFA's proposals to redevelop Hampden. The multi-million pound revamp of the National Stadium was Farry's pet project. Fergus was only too keen to let it be known that millions of pounds of public money would be wasted creating what he called the third best ground in Glasgow. The final battle between the two would be a long and bitter struggle. It started in February 1996 when Celtic, pushing for a league and cup double, attempted to bolster their squad with the signing of Sporting Lisbon striker Jorge Cadet. Transfers, which involve a player moving from one country to another, are frequently far from straightforward. And this being the case, Celtic kept the SFA fully updated with developments. When on February the 26th, a personal agreement was reached with a player, Celtic forwarded all the required paperwork to the SFA. No concerns were raised by the SFA, so when the international clearance certificate arrived on March the 7th and was forwarded to the national body, it was assumed the transfer would be processed as a matter of course. However, the SFA now expressed concerns about the compensation arrangements between Celtic and Sporting, and Farry claimed that until these were resolved, he regarded the international clearance certificate as invalid. The SFA then informed Celtic that because Cadet had also entered into a separate financial arrangement with Sporting regarding his payoff, the original player agreement was unsatisfactory. They subsequently asked Celtic to make a number of specific changes. These were done, but when the club submitted a revised agreement, it was returned by the SFA, who were now unhappy with various other points of the deal that they had previously had no issue with. Meanwhile, a fax from FIFA to the SFA stated that having looked at the details of the deal, they had no concerns, and the international clearance certificate should be regarded as valid from March 7th. An SFA management meeting accepted this, but amazingly, Celtic were ordered once more to make changes to their personal agreement with the player, as the SFA yet again voiced concerns about elements of the contract they had previously had no worries about. On March the 30th, Celtic were once more forced to make changes to the agreement, but at last, the transfer was registered and cleared. However, the SFA now refused to backdate their ratification of the transfer, meaning Cadet missed a 2-1 Scottish Cup defeat to Rangers. When the striker was finally able to take to the field, he would score 5 goals in 6 games. It was, however, not enough to maintain Celtic's challenge for silverware, and with Rangers securing an 8th successive league title, angry Hoops fans were left wondering what might have been if Cadet's registration had not been delayed. During the period of the delay, Celtic had played and drawn 2 league games, 1-1 at Rangers and 0-0 at Motherwell. McCann was raging at the seemingly needless delay and stalling in the processing of the transfer. Farry was held personally responsible by McCann, and the Celtic chief was not prepared to let the matter rest, even if it meant carrying on the fight after his tenure at Parkhead was over. Unlike many Hoops fans, McCann let it be known that he didn't perceive the delay in Cadet's registration as being the result of any specific anti-Celtic bias. Rather, he stated it was a simple but intolerable example of ineptitude at the very highest level. 2 internal SFA investigations cleared Farry of any wrongdoing, but McCann was not to be placated so easily. Some 3 years after the affair, and after McCann had departed Celtic, the Canadian-based businessman finally got the independent inquiry he was after. The media had again lambasted McCann for what they believed was a paranoid-fueled witch hunt. But after just 1 day of the independent inquiry, they would be eating their words. Under cross-examination from Celtic's legal representative, Farry was dismantled. Even when presented with overwhelming evidence to the contrary, SFA chief stuck to his guns and insisted that everything about the deal was completed as per the established protocol. But with every word uttered, he merely dug himself into a deeper hole, and by the end of the day, his reputation and career was in tatters. The SFA conceded the case put forward by Celtic and acted with an ironic alacrity by immediately suspending Farry. Farry would be sacked for gross misconduct. He may have been the SFA's fall guy, but put simply, he had picked one fight too many with McCann, and he paid with his job. His exit was certainly greeted with delight by the Celtic support. But it was, in truth, scant consolation compared to the league title the club may have won.